Good morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Friends in Christ, how good it is to be gathered here in worship this morning. Wherever we have come from, the pathways of our lives, both the good and the bad, know that as we come here, the Lord Jesus Christ welcomes us. So no matter where you might find yourself in your journey of life and faith, know, friends, that you are welcome here. As we begin our worship this morning, I would invite you to look at the number of announcements that are printed in your worship bulletin, take advantage of the opportunities for generosity and education that are part of the life of Wayside. I'm going to introduce Linda Laura, who has a word to share with us this morning.
Good morning, everyone. I'm here to talk about Consecration Sunday and the luncheon to follow on Sunday, November 12th. That's 3 weeks from today. Please mark your calendar. Most of you have heard me say at one time or another, over the 55 years that I have been a member of Wayside Church, I was two when I joined, how much this church community means to me. Being an integral part of this body of Christ, known as Wayside Presbyterian Church, has had an enormous influence on the person I am now and who I am becoming. Like the lifespan of a human being, this congregation has ebbed and flowed, experienced untold joy and the depths of sorrow. I am so grateful to be part of it all. I know you are too. When we feel blessed, we feel motivated to respond in some way. At church, there are many things that we all do to give back in gratitude and thanksgiving. Each of us contributes in small ways and big ways of our time and our talent and our financial resources. The Bible teaches that people who take seriously the stewardship of all that God gives them have these characteristics. They give through the church liberally, cheerfully, sacrificially, and regularly. We find nowhere in the biblical record instruction for giving to the church budget. We find abundant texts that urge people to give to God. I believe in financial stewardship. Why? First and foremost, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe that Christ has the greatest potential to change the lives of people, whoever and wherever they are. Second, I believe in the church. I believe in this church. I believe the church is the body of Christ and serves as God's hands and feet and heart and soul in the world. Third, I believe in stewardship. Financial giving enables a church to do what God calls us to do, to help people and to serve Christ. And financial stewardship helps individual Christians to grow spiritually. So as we travel the weeks leading up to Consecration Sunday, please prayerfully consider what God is calling you to give. Thank you.
Thank you. Friends, let's rise and greet one another as we are able, as sisters and brothers in Christ.
Please rise as you are able and join me in the call to worship. Lord, you welcome us, saying, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Lord, you have promised us, saying, Lord, you have blessed us, saying, I will bless all my enemies, and ask for my enemies. Lord, you have humbled us, saying,
I will proclaim my holy name to your presence. Lord, show us your glory. We worship you.
Confident of God's mercy that has been revealed to us in Jesus Christ, let us confess our sin and seek the forgiveness of God. Join with me in the prayer of confession. What a debt we owe to you, generous God. You have given all things to us in Christ, and yet we withhold from you the honor and glory that are yours. Instead, we pay tribute to empire and marketplace, plot to entrap the innocent, mock your truth with empty praise, and put your patience to the test. Remember us, forgiving God, and by your grace, restore in us the image of your face, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. You may be seated.
Nice job. Nice job. I'd like to invite all the children of the church to come up and sit with us together. It was great, Ethan. Outstanding. One of the best anthems I've ever heard. I have something to show you this morning. You'll have to look kind of from a distance. I have four coins here, and I was wondering which is your favorite. A penny, a nickel, a dime, or a quarter? How many like pennies best? Penny does. Funny. That was not a plant. That was all on her own. I'm impressed. How about a nickel? Who liked the nickels best? Because they're big and silver? How about the little dime? Who likes the dime best? You like the dimes? Who likes the quarter best? Wait a minute. Now, why is that? Why do you like the quarters best? Yeah, go ahead. Most money. Okay, so you figured out. But you said you like dimes. Why do you like dimes? You can just like them. You don't have to have a reason. You just like them. They're cute, aren't they? Yeah, for something so little to be worth 10 pennies is pretty cool. So, what do we do with our money?
We buy things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We buy things, right, exactly. Just about everything, right?
We save our
candy. You buy candy?
No.
Well, I do that too.
And we save it.
And we save some? Excellent. For a later time?
I save a lot of my money.
Do you save a lot of yours? I can't say that I do that. Okay. Do you have some in your piggy bank? Knuckles for you. That's a good job. You got a lot. That's good. I know who to borrow from.
I have two.
Shh, shh, shh. Let's go on. I have some money that has been mine since I was your age. It sits in my chest of drawers. They are silver dollars, just like this, given to me by my grandmother Sundberg. She would give each of her grandchildren a silver dollar on our birthday, and that was her way of letting us know she remembered our birthday and that she loved us. She didn't have a lot of money. This was about all that she could do. I looked up what this coin might be worth today on the internet. It's just a dollar, silver dollar. But because it was minted in 1923 and it was a Liberty, it's worth about $19. So I could go and sell it and buy something like candy or other things that are worth $19. Or food, I could. How many of you think I should sell this dollar and buy some stuff for myself? Okay. Or buy some stuff for other people. That's a great way to do it. How many of you think I should keep this in my chest of drawers?
That's one of your childhood things.
It is one of my childhood things, isn't it? You got it. You got it. Money or love? Money or love? That's the question. Yep. There's no price on love, is there? None. As long as I have this coin, I have a really good story to tell about my grandmother and about her love for me. Sometimes we think gifts from people who love us has to do with how much money is spent, but that's not true. Love can be shared with no money at all. That's what Jesus taught. Love is always more important than money. Let's say a prayer. Oh God, help us to always value love and care over money. Teach us the ways of Jesus so that we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. In his name we pray. Let's all of us say amen. Thanks for making your prayer too. Let's, Wild Club children now going to sing their song. Let's have the, oh, everybody else sit down, please. Politely listen to your good friends. They're going to sing a beautiful song. Rebecca, have a seat. Sit down, please. Sit down. Sit down. Come over here and sit, bud.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination as printed in your bulletin. Holy One, true and loving God, through the message of the gospel and the power of your Spirit, enable us to be imitators of the Lord, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. You will find today's scripture passage on page 24 in the New Testament portion of the Pew Bible. It is from Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax. And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, Whose head is this, and whose title? They answered, The emperor's. Then he said to them, Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In the first chapter of Genesis, in that great litany of the days of creation, when we come to the sixth day where God creates humankind, the Lord says, Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. In the image of God, they were created. God created them, male and female. When we studied the Torah back in seminary, I remember my professor, Sibley Towner, teaching about the revolutionary idea that's contained in that passage, those few verses from Genesis. And it may not seem like a revolutionary thing, but in all other religions of that ancient era, the God of a people was seen as local, even national, as much as they had nations in those days. But the God or the gods had a region and a place that belonged to that God, and an image, a representation, an idol even, to go along with that God. But here in this ancient Hebrew scripture, Genesis teaches that there is no image that can capture who God is. The mystery and the reality of God is to be found in the midst of God's people. The image of God is in each person. The image of God is in all people together. The mysterious, wonderful, unknowable nature of God is reflected in the person who you are and in all those around you. There is no idol to represent God. The images of God are wondrous and mysterious and everywhere around us, all in their variety of size and color and age and characteristic. I think Jesus is saying here that there's nothing inherently wrong with a coin or with money, no matter whose face is on it. Jesus may even be saying that there is nothing inherently wrong with taxes, as difficult as that may be for us to hear. I think Jesus is saying that where the problem lies is in the confusion over human beings and the transaction of power. Human beings ought not be used in the game of power as though they were worth less than coins. Humans should not ever be viewed as less than image bearers of God. Because this is what's going on in this story. These people who come to Jesus, they didn't come on a nice afternoon to engage Jesus in a philosophical discussion. They came to set him up, to trap him in their quest to silence him and to maintain their power. And so, is it hard to see people as the precious bearers of the image of God? And if so, why is that? What is threatened when people are allowed to be themselves? What is risked if power is relinquished or control is given up? What might happen if everyone was empowered and no one was controlled by someone else? I used to serve a church on a main street, and the church had a long-standing reputation for helping people in need and funding to do that. A lot of people stopped in for assistance. So many came that we had to set up a committee to rotate days to meet with people. They had to set parameters of days and times to meet with folks so they wouldn't be overwhelmed. No matter how it worked, though, it was a challenge. Often it was not only the dollars for power bills and rent assistance that were needed. People were in pain. They were needing to be listened to. One busy day, a man came off the schedule needing gas for his car to make it to a job. So I dropped what I was doing, and I went with him to the Shell station, and I filled his tank, and he thanked me. And then he asked me to pray with him, and he made it very clear, not for me, pray with me. And then he asked me, and then he said this memorable thing. He said, "Please tell me I am not just a tank of gas for you." Wow. Now I was seeing him. And I confess, up to that moment, I had not really looked in his eyes. I hadn't encountered his humanity. "Sir," he said to me, "I've come down a long way." Oh, man. I really, at that moment, I wanted to change my heart. I wanted us to go to the McDonald's that was just a couple of doors down from this gas station. I wanted to get coffee or maybe something to eat and just spend some time talking. I really wanted to honor him. But he needed to be to this job that he was hustling to get to. So we prayed. He drove away. I went back to my busy day. You know, next Sunday, we mark the 500th anniversary of that moment when Martin Luther came out publicly with his clarity about the need for the church to stop treating people as though they were transactions. The thing that finally pushed Luther over the edge was the selling of indulgences, money paid to the church to leverage people out of spiritual prison. What an idea. The selling of indulgences was the church of that time exerting power and control, plain and simple. Martin Luther's work began to peel away the layers of unjust church authority so that people could see themselves and others in the light of the freedom of God. Luther believed that Jesus, in his life and death and resurrection, came to restore in us the lost image of God. Luther believed that Jesus hoped we might see this image in ourselves and be enabled to look for it in others. And here's one more story. I'm sorry. I can't help it. I was once part of a team that met with a church that was going through a transition. The church had been through serious conflict, and now at last they were seeking a new pastor, and at the same time they had financial concerns. And one of the things said to us by one person from the church, it made sense. It made sense, but it was tough to hear. She said, "We need a pastor who can bring in lots of new members so that we will have all the money we need to do all the things that we want to do." After a few moments, an astute member of our team responded thoughtfully, "What if all those members, new members, did bring the money you hoped for, but they want to do something different with it? than you want to do. The churchwoman got this quizzical look on her face and she said, I hadn't thought of that. Jesus calls us to relationship with people, to give to God what belongs to God, to respond with all that comes, with bearing the image of God, so that all the image bearers have opportunity to see what God is all about and to continually discover what they themselves are all about. It would be a sad thing if the church loses itself by making its own life a stock in trade for the people when the people are the ones who God calls in order to make the church what it is. It happens to us that we get confused, kind of like the Pharisees, about what's important and what the goals are. Jesus keeps helping us to remember, to be reformed over and over, to look in the mirror and see the beauty of the image of God looking back, and to remember that loving and serving the people God has placed all around us is what following Jesus is all about. Amen.
Please turn with me to the prayers of our community and for the world. We continue to pray for Pat and Karen and the other Karen and Virginia. The Rocky Grove Avenue Presbyterian Church is in our presbytery is in our prayers today. Rachel Johns, just a dynamo pastor, wonderful smile and great love and care for people. She serves that congregation well. And Reverend George Espy, who is a former pastor of our church and is now honorably retired, we pray God's blessing on him as well. Let's prepare ourselves for prayer. Holy Spirit, how should we come into your presence this day? We've set aside other things that we could be doing so that we can experience a few moments of peace and tranquility. Help us ignore our to-do list and wonder instead about your hopes for us. Are there questions you would have us ponder about ourselves and those we love? Are there insights into our faith in you that we might examine? Are you inviting us into something new for life and ministry? Are you just hoping we'll rest from all our troubles? Come, Spirit, and abide with us. Abide also with those who are sick and those who are grieving. Bring healing in body, mind, and spirit to all who need your care. Surround the Scala family this day and in all the days ahead. Help make cooler heads prevail in all the heated debate around the world. Protect all peoples from harm of war. Bring peace this day. We give thanks for our pastors, past and present, and ask your blessing on their ministries, not only for their sake, but for the sake of your church. Guide our confirmands, their parents and mentors, in their search for understanding their faith in your Son. May the mysteries you've infused in them become a way of life as they seek to serve you. Hear us now as we offer silently our personal prayers of petition and thanksgiving. As Jesus taught, so we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Instead of what I prepared, I have a penny for Penny to remember the day that she taught the children about love. Let us all offer together our favorite coin given in love. Holy God, you work tirelessly out of concern for all of us. Accept our offering of ourselves and our finances as gifts unto yourself, we pray. And show us ways to be partners in ministry with you, so that out of love and appreciation, we might be gift givers to all whom we meet. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Let all God's people say, Amen.
By the grace of Jesus Christ, we know, friends, you bear the image of God in you. May we go out into the world with eyes open, with senses heightened, to know the image of God in all those whom we meet. And as we go, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the friendship and the kindness of the Holy Spirit be with us today and forever. Amen.